Over the last several, really since the beginning of the year, we've been through this staff. We've been just talking a little bit about some of the different aspects of the church with our theme of reaching them and teaching them through the different ministries and so forth. And so tonight I just thought I wanted to talk very specifically about church membership. Just reaching and teaching them through our church membership. Look at Acts chapter 2 on your sheet or in your Bibles, verses 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." What? The message by Peter on the day of Pentecost. "And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto him, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Here's the key. "And they that gladly received his word," the word of salvation, accepted it, "were baptized," instant obedience. "And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Added unto who? Those believers there in Jerusalem that had already been saved. These folks got saved, they got baptized, and they became part of that group, part of that church. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their goods and possessions, and parted unto them every man as every man had need." That was a lot of that was out of necessity because of the persecution and so forth that was coming. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved." As we think about membership, membership in the church is not some privilege position that holds prestige. You think about these country clubs and, you know, "I'm a member of the country club," or what, things like that. It's not a prestige thing. Okay, that's not what membership of the church is about. Becoming a member is becoming an active member of a team and fulfilling your role to make the team successful. Okay, that's the goal. The goal is we all have our place. We all are part of this team called Pacific Baptist Church, and we are all needed to fulfill the purpose God has for our church. It's becoming a vital cog in helping the church to fulfill its mission. I hate to disappoint you, but if you're waiting for the staff to do everything in the church and take the church to where it needs to be, it's not going to happen. It's all of our responsibility. It's as each member fulfills what they're supposed to do and become the church member they're supposed to be, that God can work in our midst and do something great together. In our verses here, if you look at these verses, you see the progression that a Christian should take from salvation. First, they heard the gospel and they received Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, of course, we'll talk about that in a minute, you really can't become a member of the church. Second, they were baptized. Next step after salvation is baptism, okay? By the way, if you've been saved and you've never been scripturally baptized, you need to be baptized. "Well, I was baptized before I got saved." Okay, that was nice. You got wet. Okay, you took a bath without water, without soap. That's all you did. And I remember when we were in Hammond, First Baptist of Hammond, we had so many. It's a church of 20,000. We had thousands of bus kids, and kids would get baptized each week. And we had to watch them because during the summer, some of them wanted to sneak up there to get baptized because it was hot, and they wanted to get wet. Okay, and we're like, "That's quit playing around." You know how kids are. But that's all you did. You just got wet. Third, by their baptism, they joined the group. "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and they were added unto them." Okay? Baptism and salvation are are the two steps or the two requirements for church membership. Then fourthly, they continued with their brethren and in their growth in the faith. And then fifthly, as a result of that, they went out and reached others who were also being saved and baptized and added to the church. It was just a perpetual thing. Now, understand this. The church is a big deal to God. Some people, the church gets a lot of criticism and maligned. And even in Christianity, there's a group now, they want to start these little home church things where it's just, two or three families meeting together. There's no pastor, there's no outreach, there's no nothing. They just kind of get together and soothe their conscience on a Sunday. Listen, that is not a church. Jesus gave a commission to the Christians that they are to reach through their church. Not just sitting together around a house drinking coffee and saying, we had church this morning, okay? That's nonsense. There's more to it than that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. First verse is one of the hardest in the Bible. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, little caveat there. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'm thankful, personally, for church. Amen. Church has meant a lot in my life. Not always been the Christian I should be. I've not always been, whatever, but I'm thankful that when I decided to grow for Christ, I made one decision. And that decision was, I'm going to go to all the church services. Knew nothing about Christianity other than I trusted Christ and all of that. But I didn't understand anything about going forward, growing, any of that stuff. And I just started going to church faithfully. And from there, God started working. I believe that's the key factor that cemented my desire to be the Christian or desire to strive to be the Christian that God wanted me to be, being a part of a church. I started learning the Bible at the church. I would sit down in the front. I didn't know anybody. And I would take detailed notes. And if the pastor said, this word meant in the Old English, it meant this, I would write that down and I'd go home. Now, I didn't know any better. I didn't realize you could find these things in books. Okay? And I had a little notebook and I would write down, this word means that, and that word means this. If he had an outline, I'd write the outline. And I had another notebook for that and all these different things. Why? I was behind the eight ball. Okay, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know the Bible. And I figured it was time for me to catch up. And at church, I learned a lot. I took all the script. I was a little bit ignorant. I looked at people's Bibles and I noticed they would highlight verses. Is anybody in there, you highlight verses? Okay, I used to do that, and I got tired of every time I switched my Bible, having to start over. But I saw people do that, John, and I didn't know this. I thought, okay, they must be underlining every verse that he references. And so if he referenced a verse, I'd write it down, I'd go home, and I'd highlight that verse, even if it was in Leviticus. Pretty soon I realized, I might just save a lot of time here. Let me just highlight the whole Bible, and then it'll be caught up. I realize you highlight a verse if it speaks to your heart or there's a phrase you want to remember. I was really ignorant, okay? Some of you say, I know, you still are. Thank you. I met people in the church that helped me and influenced my Christian life at church. I've mentioned Brother Minnie before, the assistant pastor, Brother Sisson, and Brother Beard, and Brother Fry, and there was Brother, the bus captain. Funny last name. Brother Hansberger. Brother Hansberger taught me about loving people on the bus ministry. Here was a man with like 7 kids. He was out all day on Saturday visiting on his bus route. He got me to help him on his bus route, and I'm out visiting with him. And I'm like, this guy is making, now this is back before the CHP would check. We had smaller buses, like 56 capacity. We'd have like 100, 120 every week. Okay, that was Brother, I think that was Brother Puttikoffer or something. He made a guy go back. He said, I told you I have 100. He had 99. He made him go back out and find one more. Okay? I didn't want to work for him. But all these different people that were older men in the church, that just by being around them, they encouraged me in my Christian life. I wouldn't have found that if I would have never went to church. Eventually, I started developing godly friends. We used to have the Navy base was open over here. And we had a bunch of single guys in the Navy. They were on the USS Peleliu. And they were all on fire for God. And I started hanging out with them. And we would just go soul winning and do different things of that nature. And then, of course, I went off to college with a friend, Johnny Sanchez, and he was a good friend, and he helped me. But by the way, the reason I even went to Bible college, the reason I'm married, his fault, is Brother Black. Brother Black told me to go to Bible college, okay? I was kind of thinking, he said, I didn't ask him, by the way. I don't even know where it came from. It's like, you need to go to Bible college. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even finish high school, all right? And then you're sending me to Bible college? I'm glad he did. It helped me. But all of these things helped me. And by the way, it can help you too. And let me say this. If you're not, if church is not helping you in your Christian life, and I'm not just saying this about our church, it'd be about any church. Let me say this as kindly as I can. It's not the church's fault. And I'll tell you why that. Because you can have 100 people sitting in a church, and here's a bunch of people. They have a right relationship with the church, and they're doing the things that I'm going to mention tonight, and God's working in their life, and you have the same person sitting in the same church with the same opportunity, and they're not allowing God to work in their life. Is that the church's fault? The church is a tool to help you, okay? And so I want to help you. So tonight, you say, we have like 20 minutes left, and you have 10 points, 2 minutes each. We'll be out the door, okay? You hope, right? It's not Sunday school. I will finish, all right? I'd never finish my lesson in Sunday school. Number one, these are 10 marks of a successful church member. Some of them are, well, most of them are going to be a duh, but we really need to be committed to them, okay? Number one, they are saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Okay, let me just explain something to you. You could be in church for 100 years and you can come 7 days a week and spend 12 hours a day at church, and that's not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And my question is, have you? I didn't ask if you prayed a prayer. I prayed a prayer many times. The little thing going around in our area when I was a kid, they would have you pray this prayer, dear Jesus, take away my sins, wash me in your blood, take me to heaven when I die. That was the same prayer. And they wouldn't explain the gospel, and they'd say, here, pray this with me. I remember one time we were over at Zody's. It was a department store, and we were doing what we did when we were kids. We were being punks, and we set off some alarms, and we messed around in the store, and we took off running, and the security guard caught us. And he said, now, he goes, I can either go back and call the police, or you can sit here and pray this prayer with me. And I think, I'm feeling spiritual. And we all sat in a circle and prayed that prayer, and we walked away and like, got away with that one. I'm talking about, did you understand that you were lost? Did you understand that you deserve to go to hell? Do you understand that the only way to get to heaven was to put your 100% trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross? And did you ask him for that salvation? If all you did was pray and you didn't understand that, you need to get saved. You have to be saved. Many people, there are people who have done sacrificial things in the name of God, supposedly, who are not even saved. Not trying to get on her, I'm not trying to be mean here, but Mother Teresa, even Christians try to make her into a Christian. Her own testimony was that she was in darkness. She said sometimes she didn't know where God was. When she, and now I will say this, from a humanitarian level, she's to be commended. But from a spiritual level, she's not. Her goal where she went was not to try to preach the gospel. She didn't know the gospel. She went, and if you were a Hindu, she wanted you to be a better Hindu or whatever they believed. See, you can go to hell from church pretty fast. It's about trusting Jesus Christ, and I hope you've trusted Jesus Christ, but you got to be saved and baptized to be in the church, not to be a good member. Number two, here we go. They have joined. Okay. You can't be a member if you've not joined the church. It's like you can't be married unless you have been married. You've had the ceremony. You've said, I'm done. I do. Okay? That's what it takes. It says they gladly received the word and they were added unto them. They became part of them. They didn't just get in and move on. They didn't just get saved and moved on. They joined with this fledgling group of believers in Jerusalem after Christ was gone. and they became part of the group. Most people don't want to join because they are afraid of commitment. And let me say this, membership is a commitment.
Yes, sir.
Membership is a commitment. I'm just telling you. You shouldn't come in with the idea, love the church, I just want to, this is my home, I'm Pacific Baptist Church, let me sign on the dotted line, good. When you signed on a dotted line, it meant something. By the way, you wouldn't appreciate it if it doesn't mean anything. Okay? It takes commitment. If you're a member of Pacific Baptist Church, let's be committed to helping Pacific Baptist Church. Let's be committed to getting Pacific Baptist Church to where God wants it to be. It's not just so your name's on a roll. And I'll be honest, we probably should keep better records and have, you know, anybody that's ever come down here and joined the church. I'm not interested in that. You know, I know some of my brethren I went to college with, you know, they have 20,000 on their church membership. I know, but only 300 show up, okay? I want people who are not just members, but because they're members, they're committed, okay? They're committed. It's a commitment. By the way, salvation, we committed our soul to Christ. Marriage, we committed our lives to another person. As a parent, we committed our lives and our time to our children. Commitment's a part of life. Now, I won't go into it. Well, you can read the verses later. But you understand this. People will find substitutes if they don't have a church. Could be bowling leagues. Could be softball. For 7, 8, 9 years, I used to play on our Friday night church softball team. And we would play in a Friday night league, and then sometimes we would lose, and we'd have sometimes more often than not. We would meet together afterwards as we were changing out of our cleats, and we would talk about the game and what we could do better. And one of the guys goes, look, we got to practice a lot more. And I heard it. I'd hear some of these guys in other teams like, yeah, I'm in a Tuesday night league. I'm in a Wednesday night league. Christian guys too, by the way. And a Friday night league. And someone's like, man, these guys are in all these different leagues. If we're going to compete, we got to practice all these days. And I just said, no, we don't. I'm like, we have a philosophy here. I probably shouldn't have said this. So we have a philosophy here. We're going to play softball. We'll do the best we can, but we're not going to do this every day of the week. We go to church. We have soul winning. We have other things. Okay? And I didn't mind playing. So you got these Elks Lodge, Classic Car, you name it. People have their groups. Well, Christians have a group. It's called the church. What's the missing ingredient? If you're struggling in a church, it's commitment. Now, becoming a member of a church is making a commitment to it. Before we came to church, we said, oh, that church. When we started visiting or attending the church, we say, yeah, I go to this church. But when we become a member, it's like, yeah, that's my church. And that's where it ought to be. You say, I want it to be my church. Can I get the bumper sticker? No, we're not doing that. We almost made a mistake a year ago. I hope we didn't give them out. The little license plate holder that say I love Pacific Baptist Church. Did we? My bad. We ought to give them out and say, I'm a Jehovah Witness, so you give them a bad name. Okay, not Pacific Baptist Church. And I'm talking to myself. Number three, they are spiritual. Notice that when they got saved, their relationship with God didn't stop there. That's where it starts. Then they added these other things, and it talks about all the things they did together because they were now part of the group. Okay? That was the beginning. But let me say this. Church membership doesn't make you spiritual. A relationship with God does. And by the way, that's why some of you struggle. And then you say, the church isn't taking care of me anymore. It's not that the church isn't taking care of you anymore. You're not spending time with God. Now, I haven't heard this in a long time, but in the past, I've heard people say, you know, I'm going somewhere else. I'm not being fed. Maybe it's not that you're not being fed. Maybe it's because you're not eating. Okay? Listen, our job here is to feed you, and we use the Bible. But it's not my job to stuff you full. That's your job.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to walk by my house on Thursday and say, man, I'm starving. They haven't fed me in a week. Listen, I'll find food.
Right.
If they're in, you know, our house, it's crazy. There's always people going anywhere, in and out. We got a new house, and we got those little nests. You know, little nests, the in and out? It's a little doorbell, and it dings on my phone when people come in or go out. Listen, that thing dings all day. We're not normal. But if it's a busy day and it's like, listen, we're doing this and we're out here doing that, listen, I'm going to eat. I'll figure it out. I'll find something. Okay? If you're hungry, feed yourself. Our goal is to, and I said, well, I'm down there taking notes. I know, that whetted my appetite, that filled in some of the blanks, but that pushed me to get into the Bible. And what I was reading and what I was hearing, it meshed together. You got to be spiritual, okay? If you know, it's like, well, I'm a good car because I stand in a garage. That's not going to happen. You're not even a car. Be spiritual. Number four, a little more practical here. They attend services. I like the Thursday night crowd, but maybe you're here on accident. I like that word continued.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, and they continued. You know what continued means? Here we go. I'm a brain surgeon. It means to continue. Keep going. Wasn't a one-time thing. They kept going. I like the word steadfastly. They weren't gonna be pushed off what they're doing. They continued and they said, we're steadfast. This is what we're supposed to do. We're doing it. Nothing's pushing me off of it. Nothing's stopping me. You know, that means nothing interferes with their continuing. I believe that every Christian who's a member of this church should be at every service, every week, no excuse. I'm sick. That's not an excuse. That's legit. Okay? But let me say this. Should I say it? Got permission. If you're sick and you miss Sunday morning church, but you're at the mall Sunday afternoon, you weren't sick. Grandma taught me. I learned early on. If I told my grandma, I'd stay at her house Monday through Friday most of the time because my mom was working as a single mom. I went to school over there. If I told her I was sick, I was in bed all day long. Do you know what? I wasn't sick very often. Okay? We miss services way too easy. Some people say, I love this church. I'll never stop coming to this church. All it takes is starting to miss one service. Like, by the way, I've been doing this long enough. Someone comes and they're growing in their faith and something happens and they miss a service here. They miss a service there. And they miss a service there. And it's like, here it comes. Okay? Let's commit to be here Sunday school. Sunday morning. Sunday night. Thursday night. It's not that hard. I learned this early on. They said that, come every time the doors are open.
Yes, sir.
And I think we should. Number five, they will serve. They will serve. God has gifted us for the church. All of us have something we can offer to serve. God wants his people to serve him after salvation. Look at Titus. Looking for that blessed hope. What? Being raptured halfway through the tribulation? No. Before the tribulation. Anyhow. And the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Let me say this. Many of you qualify on that count. All right? Zealous of good works. He says, you know what? One of the reasons we're saved is to serve, is to do something. Okay? Now, thank God we got a lot of people that do something. But I know in some churches, some people do 100 different things. You know? Try to remind our staff sometimes, if we're looking for new people to work in ministry, let's not ask the person that's already doing 6 things. There are new people that would love to get involved. Serve. Ephesians makes it clear that it's what he commands to do after salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you know it. I've harped on it. I'm taught it. You know, by grace are you saved through faith. That's salvation. But look what he says right afterward. For we are his workmanship. That means a new product. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Why? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hey, you are all ordained to walk in good works because you're saved. God wants you to get involved. Find your place. Now, some people can do more than others. I get it. All of us need something. We all have talents. We have singers in our church who aren't in the choir. I'm not one of them. Everybody knows it. Okay? We have those who can play instruments that hide it. By the way, I encourage you, take lessons. Get your kids taking some of these lessons. We get that orchestra going. Take piano lessons. Let's get more. Music is important. The more I see it. Music is vitally important in a church. Right kind of music. Okay? And it'd be nice if that's just the general flow here so that the kids love music and they love the right kind of music. It speaks to their heart. Kind of hard to, look, if I am driving in my car and I'm listening to, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, I'm probably not going to have a lot of bad thoughts. Okay? But if I'm listening to, some godless song talking about I love you, baby, baby, I'm not thinking about Jesus. By the way, that could be a Christian song because most of them sound like that anyhow. We have those of you that are gifted and could someday, if you just get on board and get with it, you could be a Sunday school teacher. You could, there are some of you that can volunteer for the nursery, could help with the parking ministry, what are you doing on Sunday? Usher's ministry, they're serving food. Not every week. We have people who could get a license and one day drive for the bus ministry. Help in the children's ministry. Some of you have free time during the day. You could volunteer to come down here and do some things. Whatever. All I'm saying is this. By the way, when that first 6 months I was in church, after I got right with God, I was just learning and growing. And then after 6 months, it's like, it's time to get involved. And next thing you know, I'm on a bus route. I was teaching a Sunday school class. I was going on Sunday afternoons to a rest home ministry and having church services there. After Sunday night church, I'd help them set up for the Christian school. They had a tape ministry. Tape is this little square thing that used to be like a CD. Or it was like an MP3 back then, okay? And that's how you listen to stuff. And they were always behind on duplicating their tapes because I would order the messages. And they're like, well, we just don't have any to do it. And, I'm like, I'll do it. Give me the key to the hell. And they gave me the key to the room, and I just show up when I had time, and I would duplicate the tapes for them. I just got involved in everything I could, okay? And I loved it. Number six, they will all invite. They will all invite. We don't keep the faith. We have that phrase, hey, keep the faith. And sometimes I'll joke with somebody and say, hey, keep the faith. Don't share it. But keeping the faith doesn't mean you keep it and you don't give it away. Okay? You're faithful to it. But we are to invite. We should invite people, first of all, to church. You should regularly just get habit of, when you have a chance, you ought to come visit our church. Not that hard. Okay? No one's going to bite you. You know what the worst thing they'll say is, no, thank you. You walk by, sometimes I'll be walking, and I'll, hey, can I give you an invitation to church? And they'll just stare at me and walk away. I'm like, okay, apparently not. That didn't hurt me, okay? Invite people to church. The number one reason people come to church is one key word, invited. We should do it anywhere, anyone, anywhere, anytime, everyone, everywhere, every time. Let's just get in the habit of inviting people to church. And then we ought to invite them to Christ. That's taking it beyond inviting to church and encouraging people to trust Christ. Some of you are like, I'll invite someone to church, but you don't know how to talk to anybody about the Lord. That's your responsibility, not mine. Well, I'll tell you about it. It's mine too. But it's your responsibility. Okay? I wonder, if you were with someone and you were the only person that could tell them how they could know for sure that they're going to heaven where they die, would you be able to do that? Tell you what you do. You come out with us on Tuesday nights. If you work on Tuesday night, come out on Wednesday. You can come on Wednesday. No one's going to be here. The Spanish will be here. You might need an interpreter. Come out on Saturdays. Go with somebody and see how they do it. But it's our responsibility. And a good church member will be able to invite people to church, and they will be able to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Number seven, they will give. I knew you were going to say that. I didn't want to disappoint you, okay? If you're a church, the church and the ministry is taken care of by the tithes of God's people. Those in the Old Testament that ministered in the temple and before the temple when they had the tabernacle of all that, how did they live? They lived by the tithes of God's people. that was for the service there, okay? If I'm giving someone a track, I can't pull out a, here, let me invite you to church and get a piece of white paper. The church kind of looks like this and draw a church. And here's the service times and let me draw you a map. You know, listen, that costs money. Electricity costs money. But more than that, God tells us to give to our church. So if you're a church member, you give, you tithe. And over and above that, you get in on tithing, you start getting blessed. You want to give to missions, the building, all of it. Number eight. They will welcome. 3 John 14. You say, what chapter? It's only one chapter. But I trust that I shall shortly see thee and shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salutely. Greet the friends by what? Name. Now, it's not just some little obscure thing there. Have you ever noticed at the end of Paul's epistles what he would do? Hey, tell so-and-so I said this. Tell so-and-so, boo, greet this. He knew their names. He encouraged them individually. It'd be nice if someone comes to church that we welcome them. And that was part of our Sunday school deal last night. But listen, on Sunday mornings, be in welcoming mode. You say, I had a bad day, and my husband and I fought in the car. And okay, well, listen, leave that in the car, and as soon as you get to church, put the smile on. Be friendly to everybody. Then when you and your husband get in the car to go back home, ding, ding, round two. All right? Okay? You know, look, even in boxing, they take a break between rounds. That's how you know you're having a good fight. It continues. And you're steadfast. Okay? Greet people. And I understand you're in the choir sometimes, but you look at, if there's someone you don't know, they're a visitor to you. Say hi to them. And if there's someone coming back, like, oh, you were here last week, thank you, ask their name. Get to know their name. That means a big deal. Number nine. This goes beyond welcoming. A good church member, they will befriend people. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That's a deeper relationship in how we treat people. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That sounds a little deeper than just greeting the brethren by name. By the way, if someone is newer in this church and comes for a few weeks in a row, they ought to start getting some friends. There ought to be some people in our church, there ought to be people in their Sunday school class that they're sitting with, they're talking to, who cares about them, and is bringing them into the group. I'm just telling you. If not, they'll go somewhere else. Well, I'm friendly, and I say hi to people. Hey, who are you sitting with? Oh, here, why don't you come? We'll sit together in the service. Okay? Don't let people sit alone. And then lastly, we're going to be about 3 minutes late, but I did really good. I'm proud of myself. Number 10, they will disciple. The prototypical verse about going to church, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to what? Provoke unto love and good works. Encourage people. Not provoke in a bad way, but in such a way, encourage them in such a way, it almost like prods them to encouragement and doing good works, doing things, being a part of the team. And then 2 Timothy 2:2, we've looked at this. It's our theme. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm not talking about a discipleship class, although we have that. I'm talking about as new people come and you just develop friendships with them and you have some type of spiritual conversation, you can encourage them in spiritual things. I didn't learn everything hearing someone behind the pulpit. I learned most, but there were people at church I talked to, and they would encourage me in certain things. And here's how you can do this. And they would kind of help flesh out what I was hearing because they were already living it. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Let's get outside of ourselves. Who have we? Let me ask you this. We'll be done here. Have you encouraged anybody spiritually lately? Now, that's not getting in their business. What are you doing that for? Don't you know Jesus said you don't do that? Someone comes here with a new international version. Oh, hey, you know that Bible right there? Garbage. Use it for toilet paper. Okay, no, that doesn't help anybody. Now, as they come here, they might ask, how come you guys use the King James? Let me explain it to you. See, it's because of this, this, and this. And you can even show them the verse. Oh, wait a minute. Let me show you the verse. Oh, wait. That Bible doesn't have that verse. Okay, but we don't get, but you know what? As you befriend them, they ask questions. You talk to them about spiritual things. And you can encourage them in the faith. That's all of our jobs. All of our jobs. So these are 10 marks of a good, faithful church member. Let's pray.